violence. There are a number of killings. There's one, for example, in Dundrum in early 1921. A man is found shot dead. He looks like an ex-soldier. The underpants of a Welsh regiment on him, amongst other things. He has 10 shillings hidden in his sock, and nobody ever identifies him. There were a lot of unemployed males wandering around Ireland, as there was Britain itself at that time, typically ex-soldiers, very often disconnected from their families and so on, and some of these got killed by somebody or other. Mm. And so even when the bodies are found, you can't be sure who killed them. It's suspected in a few cases it mightn't be to do with the war at all. For example, a Norwegian seaman is found shot dead in the quays in Cork, May or June 1921. And it's been impossible to say who shot him, because I found no suggestion in any IRA records or accounts. There's nothing in Crown Forces. In May and June 21, by then the Crown Forces were pretty indisciplined, especially auxiliaries, as we know. They may well have just come across him, some drunken sailor, and shot him.
We have a number of 2,100 for the War of Independence. How does that break down in terms of civilians and IRA and British forces?
In total, about 48% of those fatalities could be called civilian. In that total of civilian, there'll be some whom Republicans especially will say were shot as spies and informants. Not that many. But broadly speaking, you're looking at just over half who could be roughly classified as combatants, to say that they were members of the Army, of the IRA, of the RIC or the Dublin Police, although they weren't armed, or the auxiliaries in black and tans. The proportion of civilian deaths is highest probably in Antrim. We forget about Belfast, but in fact it's part of the story and it's a very violent place.
In terms of who was killing civilians, was it the IRA, was it the British forces, or was it rioting in Belfast? What accounts for most of the civilian deaths?
In many cases, very hard to say. The British military and police kill a lot of civilians, quote, while attempting to run away, mm-hmm. or while attempting to escape, perhaps over 100. These are ones they acknowledge, and which are subject to a very cursory military legal process, which determines that in almost all cases that the military were justified in firing because the person refused to halt. But within that category, for example, the undisputed category, there are 8 or 9 people who are deaf, and that's accepted why they died. They simply didn't hear challenges. They weren't in the IRA or whatever. There was a girl, a deaf Protestant woman in Belfast, for example, shot by military patrol because she repeatedly failed to heed an order to stop during a curfew, but she was deaf in the stone. Mm-hmm. So you have these curious categories and things. Amongst people shot for failing to halt, the army shoot a good few soldiers. For example, there's a soldier probably drunk coming back into the grounds of the Royal Hospital in Kilmainham on Christmas Eve 1920. And according to the Century, he gave him a warning, gave him another warning. He just kept coming across the fields. Bang, he gets shot dead. There are 2 soldiers shot climbing back into the barracks in Galway. They'd obviously slipped out for a drink. They didn't want to come back through the gate. They get over the wall, a young sentry, and most of the sentries are very young, and they're in fear above all, of the sergeant. And the sergeant, sentry fires a warning, nothing happens, fires another. Then she goes bang, bang, and shoots the 2 of them. He was doing his duty. It has to be accepted in many cases that the military or police simply shoot recklessly or deliberately to kill people. In many others, they shoot following their own protocols. The protocol may have been wrong or inadequate. But you get this whole spectrum of reasons why people, in a sense, innocent people die.
Most people will probably know about Bloody Sunday in Dublin in November 1920, when there's a pretty large-scale reprisal killing of civilians in Croke Park. Is that really unusual, or is there parallels to that?
There are some parallels, but I think that both what happens on Bloody Sunday morning is unique, right, in its aims as much as in its achievements. And what happens on the afternoon of Bloody Sunday is also unique in its scale and in the absolute lack of discipline at the very best of the British forces in Croke Park in opening fire and continuing to fire. The curious thing about Dublin is, although it's taken as the great victory in the intelligence war, which I personally think is problematic, British intelligence got better after Bloody Sunday. It didn't get worse. The point is that so many people were targeted. Such an ambitious operation is itself very interesting, and it's unique. But the second thing about Dublin people might realise is that relatively very few alleged spies and informers were shot other than on Bloody Sunday in Dublin. It's in Cork in particular that you get a lot of people of varying degrees of plausibility being killed as spies. In kind of county like Offaly, where the number of deaths in Offaly is, I think, about 21. But in Offaly, 10 civilians killed, I think, by the IRA. Of whom about 6, I think, are alleged informers, which is a very high proportion, about 60%. The curious thing is that Dublin is not remotely, in a sense, as spy crazy as is Cork. Belfast, I don't think there's a single informer killed. It's curious, Phil, if that's in terms of Republican killings. In terms of killings of civilians, in Dublin you get a good few civilian deaths arising from crossfire, right, from ambushes, grenades being thrown and so on, as you do to a lesser extent in Cork City. So civilians die for all sorts of reasons rather than they're simply targeted.
How about combatants? If we have, say, 52% then are combatants, so do they die like in action? Do they die in combat, or do they die assassinated, or do they die in accidents?
Combatants die in a variety of ways. The British military, for example, lose about 284 fatalities that I have counted from 1919 to 1921.
That's the British Army now, not the US.
Yeah, it's the British military. Of them, the astonishing thing is that it looks like just over a quarter, 26%, they die either accidents on their own side, accidental shootings, in rows about women, a few guys, you know, fire, shoot each other, traffic accidents, right, a few die that way. Over a quarter, just over a quarter of British military fatalities, as far as I can see, die not at enemy hands. When you look at the comparable figures, police, both the RAC and the Black and Tans and auxiliaries, you put them all together for this, you're looking at about 13%. Right?
Less.
Much less.
Yeah.
We have to speculate about this. Now, and of that 13%, a good few die in road accidents because they had lorries and cars and they drove very often, particularly in dangerous areas, they drove at speed. There were, I think, four police killed in a single crash outside Drumolin Castle in Clare, which is a pretty dangerous place where you drove very fast and they hit a bad curve and over it went. Now, the IRA had no motor transport, so they don't have that hazard, other than occasionally prisoners are thrown out of lorries or whatever. But by and large, they don't die in road accidents. And the IRA figure, like fatalities inflicted by their own side or caused by whatever reason, would be about 9%.